Well, today I want to speak to you as an evangelist. When I'm in Africa, my posters are there and everybody thinks I'm an evangelist. So when I go to the pastor's conference that we do during the day, I say, you know, in Canada, I'm a pastor. So I'm going to speak to you as a pastor because I know what you're going through and I can speak to you as a pastor. But today in my nation, I want to speak to you as an evangelist. Is that okay? I recently recorded a message to share at an evangelistic conference in Uganda, and I was really stirred as I prepared it, and I want to share it with you today. I want to provoke us as a church this morning about the power of the gospel. Most of you know that I grew up as a pastor's kid and that my father was the pastor of our church before me. So all my life, I've known the Lord since I was a baby. I've been taught the word of God from birth. My dad, of course, had a very different upbringing than I did. His parents had no belief in God, and so he was raised to believe that God didn't exist. Most of you know the story that while attending university, he had a supernatural encounter with God that softened his heart. And soon after, he heard evangelist Billy Graham preaching the gospel on television. It was through the message of the gospel that he became convicted of his need for a savior, and ultimately he surrendered his life to Jesus as a result. Everything changed inside of him from that moment on. Suddenly, wealth and material success didn't matter so much anymore. He became burdened about sharing his newfound faith to those around him and soon became a catalyst for many others finding Jesus. Ultimately, he would leave a good career behind and devote himself to planting churches, pastoring, and eventually mentoring leaders around the world. My dad and mom would tell you that it was the message of the gospel that changed their lives forever, that transformed their lives. As a pastor and now as an evangelist, I have witnessed firsthand how the good news of Jesus Christ can radically impact a life. And as a result, the truth is there's no message that I would rather preach than the gospel. I've been amazed so many times at just what power there is in simply preaching the pure gospel. And I'm convinced that the gospel is the solution to the problems in our nation and the nations of the world. The answer for Canada is not going to be found in who is elected politically. Even though I believe that we should pray for godly leaders, the scriptures ask us to do that. But the only hope for our nation is the good news of Jesus Christ. The only hope for Ukraine is the good news of Jesus Christ. The hope for Israel is the good news of Jesus Christ. So many people in our nations are lost in their sins. So many people are hurting and they're broken and they're looking for answers. What do they need? I tell you, they need the gospel. The gospel is the message that Jesus is the one who forgives sinners, that there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. The good news of the gospel is that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are freed from the chains of sin and the chains of despair. The gospel gives hope. It has the power to transform the most broken life, and it has the power to change nations. The gospel must be preached, and it must be preached with a demonstration of the power of God. Paul said to the Corinthians, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." The gospel of the kingdom of God, it's a supernatural gospel. It is a gospel that is confirmed with signs and with wonders and with miracles. It is only that kind of gospel that will transform a city and a nation. It was this gospel that was preached in the New Testament, and it birthed a movement that went around the world. It is this gospel that Bonnke preached in Africa with incredible results. You see, it is the power of God that testifies to the skeptic that Jesus is alive. It is the gospel preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will open a person's heart to receive the saving grace of the Savior. And I want to provoke us today that it is time for the church to arise in power. It's time for the evangelist to come forth. It's time to preach the gospel. About 8 years ago, I was blessed to hear a message by Reinhard Bonnke at one of his schools of evangelism. And God used that message to impart something into my soul that remains today. And what I'm going to share with you now is inspired by those words. I'm praying to God for an impartation in your hearts this morning as well. I'm preaching as an evangelist today, so you know there's going to be an altar call. I'm praying that God would impart something into our hearts today. In 2 Kings 13, it says, when Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. My father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel, he cried. Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his own hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, open the eastern window. And he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow. An arrow of victory over Aram, for you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground three times, but the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times. The background of the story is that under the rule of Jehoash's father, the nation of Israel had plunged into idol worship. And as a result, God had allowed the king of Aram to repeatedly defeat the Israelites. The Arameans had been a thorn in the side of Israel for years and had reduced their army to almost nothing. And now Jehoash has come to power in the midst of all this, and he knows that these Arameans are going to keep coming, and he's terrified. On top of that, Elisha, the great prophet in Israel, the one who's been a part of Israel's deliverance many times in the past, he's dying. And so at this news, Jehoash went to see him, and he's weeping in despair. He's shaking in fear. And I want to make several points from this story today as we stand here in our nation, in our city that often feel like it's a long ways from God. And the first point that we see from this story is that this is not a time for weeping. This is a time for action. Did you notice in the story here that Elisha didn't say to Jehoash, oh, Jehoash, get a Kleenex. Blow your nose. Elisha didn't throw his arms around Jehoash and stroke his back and say, oh, I feel for you, brother. He didn't allow Jehoash to cry on his shoulder. Jehoash wanted a pity party. He was looking for sympathy, but Elisha would have no part of it. You see, Elisha was well schooled by the Holy Spirit. And so instead of comforting him, he told Jehoash, go get a bow and arrow. This was a military situation, and a military situation required a military plan. It was not a time to weep. It was a time to fight. It was not a time to shrink back and to feel sorry for himself. It was a time to rise up. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak a word to us today that it's time to stop weeping and start fighting. So many Christians are in despair over what is going on in the society around them. So many Christians are proclaiming this message of doom and gloom and despairing over the advancement of the big bad devil. They're hopeless and they've become powerless as a result. They've resigned themselves to a life of irrelevance and fear. And I want to tell you something, they're believing a lie. When I read my Bible, I read in 1 John 3:8 that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Our God is an overcomer. Our God is victorious. Colossians 2:15 said, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them on the cross. He didn't just disarm them, he made a public show of it while he was doing it. Matthew 28, Jesus came and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And you can be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. I don't know when the world is coming to an end. I just know God's going to be with us right to the end. Jesus is saying, I've been given all authority, and by that authority, I command you to go and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus is the head of the church. If he has authority, we have authority. We're not disconnected from the head, we're his body. And under this authority, we've been commanded to go, not hide. We've been commanded to preach, not weep. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Did you hear that? The gospel is the power of God. There is power in the preached gospel. We've been commanded to preach the gospel and we should do it boldly, knowing that there is power in it. Habakkuk 2:14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a promise that is. That is a promise of harvest. I believe that even as the world gets darker, we're seeing this in Ukraine. We're going to see a harvest of souls like never before. The enemy has sold us a lie that we're in a hopeless situation and filled us with doubts. But we need to remember that within our hands is a powerful weapon. In Ephesians 6, we're told what it is when Paul talks to us about the armor of God. He lists all these pieces of equipment, but you'll notice that every piece of armor is defensive. There's only one that's offensive. What is it? The sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is the gospel. Church, let's take the sword of the Spirit. Let's take the Word of God. Let's be bold with it. There is power in the gospel. Preach it. Believe it. The second point from the story is we read that we need to get our bow and arrow. As the king stands sniffling, Elisha says to him, get a bow and an arrow. Now we must remember that an arrow is a powerful weapon, but an arrow is only a powerful weapon if it's launched from a bow. What is the arrow in this illustration? It's the gospel. What gives the arrow force and power? It's the Holy Spirit which acts as the bow. Church, if we're going to preach the gospel effectively, we must have the force of the Holy Spirit behind us. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but you know the story. They were not to begin until they were filled with power from above. In the book of Acts, he told them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon them. Acts 2, they're crying out to God. And of course, in response to the prayer, the Holy Spirit comes and falls upon them. And the scripture tells us that there was a flame that was there on every head, which is significant. A flame for every head. God has a flame for you. And the fire fell on them. And something changed dramatically. Suddenly, Peter, who once had been so fearful, now becomes a man of fiery boldness. And as he preached, his message came like a roar from heaven. And 3,000 people believed the gospel and the church was launched. Church, the same power that came upon Peter is available for you and me today. Jesus is still baptizing people with his Holy Spirit for those who are hungry to receive it. But his Holy Spirit has been given to us for a mighty purpose. And that purpose is to launch the arrow of the gospel with all the force of heaven behind it. If I try to take an arrow and throw it, it won't even reach the back wall. I could throw it at you and it would bounce off your chest and you would yawn. But if I pointed an arrow at you and put it in the bow, I'd get your attention. When I launch the gospel from the bow of the Holy Spirit, it can penetrate even the hardest heart. One time as Peter and John went to the temple to pray, a lame beggar asked them for money. And Peter said to him, "Silver or gold I don't have. I don't have any money. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." What did Peter have? He had the power of the Holy Spirit in him. What about you? What about me? Do we have anything to give? I want to have something to give. And so one of the prayers that I pray almost every day in my life is, God, fill me again with your Holy Spirit. Fill me again and again and again and again with your Holy Spirit. One of my prayers these days is, God, I want a bigger bow. I want a bigger bow. I want to shoot farther. I want to have a bigger impact and a bigger reach. You know, shortly before I ever preached my first crusade message in Uganda, I had the opportunity to attend a Franklin Graham crusade in Toronto, Canada. There was about 13,000 gathered in the Scotiabank Center in Toronto. I was sitting in the seats and just sort of intrigued by it all and happy to get an inside look at how the thing all went down and learn. And I was curious to how Franklin would preach the gospel. And I was shocked, to be honest with you, by how simple his message was. To be quite honest, I found his delivery quite dry. It was sort of boring. And I had this thought go through my brain, I don't see how anybody is going to respond to this message tonight. And I even had this thought go through my brain, I think I'm a better preacher than he is. But when he gave his altar call, something incredible happened. People came from the balconies to respond to Jesus. And I remember that distinct feeling as I was sitting in my seat that there was something inside of me that wanted to go and respond. And I'm like, you've known Jesus since you were a kid. Why do you want to go down there? But it was like there was a magnet that was pulling me out of my seat. I remember I was with another pastor here from Regina, and there was a security guard who was standing there. And the pastor looked at him and said, you want to respond, don't you? And he just nodded his head and tears started streaming down his cheeks. But he couldn't respond. He was a security guard. So Pastor Corey Illingsworth led him to Jesus right there in the aisle. I went back to my hotel room that night and I fell on my knees. And I cried out to God for forgiveness. For thinking that somehow it would be my great preaching that would save anyone. I told the Lord that day on my knees, I don't want to be known as an entertaining preacher, but have no power. I need your anointing more than anything. Over the last 9 years, I have seen people literally run forward to respond as I give an invitation. I've had people remark that they've never seen that before. Even my pastor friend Alex in Uganda said to me one time, Joel, I don't understand this. You just told the story of the prodigal son tonight, and they ran to receive Jesus. Every time that happens, I know that God heard that prayer in that Toronto hotel room, and he anointed me to preach the gospel. All glory belongs to Jesus in heaven. The power is not in myself. If I try and just throw the arrow in my own strength, it falls weakly to the ground. But when I launch the arrow with the force of the bow of the Holy Spirit, I've discovered that even the hardest heart can be pierced. We're going to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. We're going to pray for you for an impartation. The third point I want to make today is that we need to shoot the arrow. I want you to notice that Elisha just didn't tell the king to get a bow and arrow. He told him to pick them up. And this is the challenge from the Lord to us. He gives us his Holy Spirit for a purpose, to launch the gospel arrow. He's equipped us. He's anointed us with his power. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. But these are not to remain on the shelf. These are not to lean up against the wall in the corner somewhere. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." What's Paul telling Timothy? Timothy, you received an impartation from the Holy Spirit. Don't let it go to waste. Don't let fear stop you. Be bold. And in this story, I love this part. Elisha does something beautiful. As the king does what Elisha asks him to do and gets a bow and arrow, he's holding it and he's trembling and he's weeping. His nose is running, his eyes are crying, and Elisha comes. And he stands beside him, or perhaps even behind him, and he puts his own hands on top of the king's. I believe in that moment, there was a connection of peace and assurance. There was a spirit of victory that was transferred from Elisha to the king. Church, the hands of Jesus are over our hands. We can stop our crying and wailing because the hands of Jesus are upon us. He told his disciples, I read it earlier, you will be my witnesses around the world, but surely I will be with you always, even to the end. When we go, Jesus goes with us. We never go alone. His touch is powerful. His touch makes us fearless. It always causes us to go forward. An anointed man or woman of faith has no reverse gear. They only go forwards. In that moment, Elisha says to the king, Jehoash, your hands, they're calm and they're steady now. It's time to open the east window. What was he telling him? He was telling Jehoash to make arrangements for the arrow to fly. He was telling him to position himself. Church, it is time to position ourselves so that the Lord can use us. It's time to get rid of the barriers in our lives that are holding us back. The barriers that push us to the sidelines. And those barriers can be different for each one of us. But whatever is pushing you to the sidelines, it's time to get rid of those things. I remember Bonnke saying to us in that school of evangelism, many people ask me, what is the secret of my life? And my secret is this, he said, I have always positioned myself. When the Lord needed somebody, I was always there, ready and available. Are you ready? Or are you so entangled in this world that you're out of position? What are the barriers that hold you back? Throw them aside and open the window. At this, Elisha said to the king, shoot. And this is what the Lord is saying to us today, I believe. It's time to arise. It's time to get your bow and arrow. It's time to position yourself and shoot. Now, did you notice here that Elisha didn't tell the king to aim? He only said, shoot. You see, God's arrow of deliverance is a self-targeting arrow. It's like a pre-programmed missile. So many times we spend all this energy strategizing and deliberating and calculating. Don't waste your time aiming. Just shoot. Trust the Lord. Believe in the Holy Spirit inside you. There's power in the gospel. It will hit its target. Just shoot. My fourth and final point this morning, I'm going to invite Anatoly to come. So we need to realize that the promises of God are elastic. God's promises are elastic. As the king shoots the arrow through the east window, Elisha shouts, the Lord's arrow of victory. The arrow of victory over Aram. You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. It's the promise. Complete victory. There's a shout of joy in Elisha as the arrow is shot. I believe God takes great pleasure when we obey his command. Elisha proclaims, you're going to have a total victory. But then he tells the king to do something interesting. He tells them to pick up the remaining arrows and strike them against the ground. The king obeys, but he only strikes the ground 3 times. And at this, the prophet gets angry. You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have beaten Aram. And you would have entirely destroyed him. But now, you'll be victorious only 3 times. Why was the prophet angry? He was angry because there was apathy within the king. He lacked perseverance. He should have smashed those arrows into smithereens. He should have hit the ground until Elisha told him to stop. He could have had a total victory. But because of his complacency, he only received a minimum when he could have had a maximum. And from this, we learn a great lesson. All God's promises are elastic. They have a minimum and they have a maximum. An example you can find is in the story of Israel entering the promised land. They were promised the whole thing. And they started invading and God was with them and miracles were happening. But somewhere along the way, they got complacent. And they never did drive out all those that God had called them to and never received all that was theirs. What a mistake. Church, God expects us to press into his promises because when we press in, they expand. If you don't press, you get the minimum. I remember Bonnke saying to us, I don't strike when the iron is hot. I strike until the iron is hot. Church, this is not a time for weeping. This is a time for action. This is not a time for complacency. This is a time for perseverance. It's time to pick up the bow of the Holy Spirit. It's time to grab the arrow of the gospel. It's time to position ourselves and shoot. God is with us. We will see the impossible become possible because he's placed his hands upon us. Do you believe that? Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? Church, I'm stirred this morning. I'm stirred this morning. I see people just distracted with so many things. The hope of the nation is the gospel. The hope of your neighbors is the gospel. The hope of your school is the gospel. The hope of your workplace is the gospel. I've been convicted by the Lord that this church is pastored by an evangelist, and we're not evangelistic enough. We're not bold enough. I believe that God is calling evangelists this morning. Where's the evangelist? Not just the proclamation evangelist from the stage, but the neighborhood evangelist. Believe this morning that God just wants to impart something by the power of the Holy Spirit, just an evangelistic grace upon us as a congregation. And so if you feel stirred in your heart this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I don't even know if I got a bow. I need the bow of the Holy Spirit. I need a bigger bow. I need an impartation of evangelistic fire. Then why don't you just come this morning? I want to pray for you. Just come. Maybe you need to position yourself. The Lord is calling you. Come on. Open the east window. You've been looking at that window for a long time. It's time to open the window. Some of you have been sidelined and caught up in all sorts of things, and God is calling you. Come on, put my Holy Spirit inside of you. I've called you for a reason and for a purpose. Let me put my bow in your hands again. Let me put my arrow in your hands again. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this church. We believe that He fills us with His Holy Spirit. And when He fills us with His Holy Spirit, this heavenly language comes. If you've never received the Holy Spirit this morning, just lift your hands to heaven and say, Holy Spirit, come on me. And if something comes in out of your heart, out of your mouth, let it out. Kira mama hashukohu rababa bahasiki hitande. Oh God, we just come before you as the early church. We're hungry for the Holy Spirit. We're hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit. We recognize in our own we're weak and we're powerless and we're afraid and we're timid. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, we depend upon you. We need you. And so we cry out to you even now. Come. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill this church with your power. Fill this church with your power. Oh God, we don't want to be a church that's known for our preaching and our worship and our this and our that, but have no power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in our city, in our nation, we need Christians on fire. We need churches on fire. Baptists baptize us again with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Stir in this land again with the fire of your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O God. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this city. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this nation. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you call the evangelist in Jesus' name? Let the evangelist come out of hiding in the name of Jesus. Let a roar in the Spirit begin to come forth from the people of God. Let the Lion of Judah roar from the lips of the evangelist in Jesus' name. Oh God, would you impart evangelistic anointing? Would you impart evangelistic grace upon the house, upon the people of God? In Jesus' name. 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 Lord, we just come before you this morning, and just even in our hearts, we position ourselves. Lord, here we are. Use us. I don't know what to do, but what I have, I give you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that you begin to speak to us. Where are you positioning us? Where's the east window for me in my own life? Where are you calling me? Where are you asking me to launch the arrow of the gospel? What is the window that's right in front of me that I just have not seen? Because I've been sidelined. Oh, God, open my eyes that I could see it. Father, I pray for the people of God today. I pray that there would be a spirit of perseverance that would come upon the house. Lord, even as the voices accuse and tear down and ridicule, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would be strong and very courageous, that we would always go forward, that we would always push ahead. Lord, you promised us things even as a house. Be it unto us according to your word, my God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for a spirit of tenacity to come upon the house. Lord, I pray for those today that are weary, those that have been striking the arrows and feel like I'm tired. I want to lay them down. God, I pray that there would be something of a tenacity that would come upon the people of God this morning. A warrior spirit in the name of Jesus, the spirit of an overcomer. Oh, God, would you lay your hands on our hands that are weak, that are trembling this morning? Oh, God, would you transfer your spirit of victory and power and authority to the house in Jesus' name? Even in the kingdom of darkness, we make a declaration. Our crying is over. We're arising. Our crying is over. God, forgive us for having a defeatist attitude, for giving in to those lies and those spirits of despair. No more in Jesus' name. Oh God, let there be a spirit of victory in the house in Jesus' name. A faith that comes from heaven, a confidence that comes from God, that cannot be fabricated. It's imparted by the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Kira baba baba hashoko hutandere. Just going to leave the altar open. If you want to just lay your hands on those around you, if you feel led to just pray for somebody this morning, Antolia is just going to continue to play. Don't leave until it's time for you to go. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, everyone. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too, so if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what he's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care, keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon. Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much